بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The متقدمين passed of the old, the emphasis that they placed upon right association and the right type of guidance, tarbiyat, was far in excess to the importance that they had shown to ta'lim. Ta'lim is first. Nobody can dispute that. But the level of importance and emphasis they shown on the right tarbiyat, the right guidance and the right association was far in excess. One tabi'i, he comes to the masjid in Damascus and he makes a dua, Allahumma anis wahshati warham ghurbati wayassir li jaleesan salihan. I am a stranger in this land, so Allah Ta'ala be kind, be compassionate towards me because I'm a stranger, not from this land. I don't know the people, I don't know the environment. And for my stay to be comfortable, then I need people to be familiar with me. See, this familiarity with deen is not a thing that just comes through kitabs. I studied some kitabs. So that familiarity, that munasabat with deen, is not built. Generally people feel, oh, I got the munasabat. But I think that the people that come around, very, very, very small percentage have got that munasabat. But Haji Sahib Rahmatullah used to say that every person feels that they got my color. Is what my color? Whereas he hasn't got my color. So it's like a color, like a bottle, right? Green color. And you fill in water inside, plain water. From the outside it will look green. So because of the association you feel with the color. But have you got the color? The color is something else. And you are something else. But because of the association that you have got, you feel that you have got that color, but the color is totally different. Sheikh Sadi Rahmatullah has got a lot of examples, anecdotes in his kitab. So, one youngster comes out of a school or something, maybe 19, 20 years of age, so he sees, he witnesses that his friend is getting boxed down. So he went straight and held his friend's hand. So the one that is boxing him, boxed him even more. He said, "Bhai, what are you doing?" He said, "No, man. I read in Sheikh Sadi's kitab. Dost abayat ki girat daste dost. Dar paresha hala wa dar mandagi." The true friend is the one that holds the hand of the friend. When he's in problems, when he's in constraints, you hold his hand. So, I didn't do anything wrong. Now, he went by the book, but he went off the mark completely. Now, to understand that, that's a different thing. The application, the understanding, the deep-seated rooted meaning, is a different thing altogether. But because we are so familiar with just the kitabs, and we go by that, and then worse than that is that, we think to ourselves that we've got it already. Just because we got the book understanding, what we feel, we've got it. So that book understanding is something else, and the actual meaning is something else, something totally different. Khalid Mawla Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah, there was an incident in Nizamuddin. They caught a thief and they knocked him down. Now, these people that apprehended the thief, they felt to themselves, we have done a very great thing. Now, this person was making mischief here, and we caught him, We put him in place. Now there won't be a recurrence of this type of a thing. So Moses says, right, you caught the thief. Apne dil ke bharas ko nikal diya. You've removed the heat of your heart. And you hit the person. Right. So is tarah se deen khub achhi tarah se phailega. Third sentence is, now in this way deen will flourish. Then he says, ye to dhobi ki batti hai. Har kisam ka kapta yahan par aayega. This is a washerman's stone. And all type of clothes will come. If the clothes are perfect, pure, clean and well pressed, they wouldn't have sent the clothing here. This is a washerman's stone, all type of clothes, napak, filthy, good, clean, all type of clothes will come here, and they're coming to correct themselves. So, then we'll have to persevere, when it's all different type of calibers of people will come to us, and we don't have that perseverance, how are we going to work? Yes, there are those that are bent upon evil, and they're becoming a bad influence on others. They have bent themselves on evil, and they won't just give up their ways. And they're becoming a terrible influence on others, then we'll ask them to move on. But otherwise, some mistakes, they're gonna make a mistake. Some things are terrible, some things are mild, some things are moderate. But now, how are you gonna take them? If it was your own child, what you would have done? My Ustad, Hafiz Abdul Rahman Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, explained this once. He says, look, the children of Yaqub alayhi salam, what a crime they have committed. They spoke a lie. To their own father they had spoken a lie. Deceived him into sending their brother, right? It was the cherry of his eyes, apple of his eye. Then they connived, attempted to murder him, sold him as a slave. As a result, he had to then languish in prison for approximately 9 years. Then there's a false allegation made against him. All because of the doing of his brothers. In the process, the father had lost his sight. But because of the wrong of his children, he didn't throw them out of the house. He still felt, no, one day these children will come right. I need to persevere, I need to talk to them, I need to get them right. They'll come right one day. Is a misunderstanding, it's a miscalculation that brought them to this point here. So now how to work them, that they come to that point and say, that they begin to plead, istaghfar, istaghfir lana, make dua for us. What's the dua? Istaghfir lana, zunubana, inna kunna khatiin. So he has to bring them to that point, that they will say, istaghfir lana, inna kunna khatiin. We have messed up, so you forgive us for the wrong that we have done. And ask forgiveness on our behalf. So, when we are working, you're going to get all these type of situations. All these type of situations. Now, if you take it too serious, then the morale will totally break, it'll collapse. The little bit that you're doing, I worked with the person, so good he was, and then now he just left everything, he went completely off. See? You worked with him, and then he went totally off. I say, hey, leave this job now. So you're going to get this type of situation coming up. You're working with the person, he's moving well, and then somewhere down the line, then he slips. Then someone has to bring him up. After some time, he comes up again. Right? So this type of things are going to happen all the time. And then, what makes it worse, someone will come and say, you know that person goes out in Jamaat. Or that person comes to the madrasa. Or his office. And see how is he behaving. So that makes it even worse. You have to tolerate all these things. You have to tolerate. Still continue with the Jamaat. Still continue with the madrasa. Still continue with the work that you are doing. You're going to get this type of slips. People are going to fall. They're going to collapse. You have to tolerate all that. And you still bring them up. It was wrong of them to pull out those type of mistakes. One Muhammad Ilyas Sahib, rahmatullahi alayh, he praised the Shaykh Uladi Samad as his nephew. He says, the Shaykh rahmatullahi alayh mentioned one point, he says, in deen there are just two levels. The one level is to be actively involved and engaged in doing deeni work. Whatever the nature of the work, whether it's teaching, preaching, tabligh, khanqa, but whatever is done for the preservation of deen, that's one work. And then if you cannot be very active in that respect, then at least support the work that they are doing. Whoever is working, then support them, encourage them. If you are involved yourself, the least you can do is support the good work they are doing. Now, we don't want to be in the first class to do deeni work, and then someone that is doing deeni work, then you go and break the person's morale, break him, the little enthusiasm he had, the yearning he had, that is also broken down. So, kiska nuksan hua? Deen ka nuksan hua? You have caused a loss, but what to what? To your own deen you have brought a loss. So, if you can't be of the first category, then be of the second category. Either the muhajir that are propagating and very active and doing all the type of sacrifices, otherwise be the ansar and try and support and cooperate in the good work. One of the two categories you have to belong to. How to make it work. Right? Look at a situation, think about it, don't become despondent, don't lose hope. Think, alright, maybe you didn't get the idea, you didn't get the understanding of it the first day, maybe the second day, maybe the third day. After deliberating carefully, now you can say, alright, let me work like this. But you didn't attempt and you lost hope. Right? You're playing into the shaitan's game you're playing. So you're not supposed to be becoming despondent at anybody's criticism. And the person that is criticizing, he must understand that but it's your deen as well. So if you are running the person down, it's your own deen that you are running down. Umar Palanpuri used to explain this very, very well. He says, deen must be treated like your one and only daughter, right? And khuda na khasta, Allah pak forbid, the daughter went off. Is it the right thing? Is it prudent to make an advertisement, oh, my daughter, and she's doing this, running around here, and doing this and that? Is it the right thing? You will correct her. Andar khan, you will correct her. You will try and improve her. But you're not going to disgrace her from the whole world. Because her honor is your honor. Her disgrace means your disgrace. So I'm sure deen is far greater than your only one and only daughter. If you show her so much of respect, then how much of respect may be shown for deen? So this tabi, he makes this dua. Anis wahshati warham ghurbati wa yassirli jaleesan salihan. Give me a good company. A good company, you know, I can sit, benefit. And he says, in the meanwhile, I came across Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu. He says that, فَمَا فَارَقْتُ حَتَّى دَفَنْتُهُ بِالشَّامِ. Then I remained with him. Until death had parted us. It was death that parted us. I buried him, that's where I parted ways with him. But I remained with him. Now that was the style of these people in the past, as knowledgeable as they were. But they looked for some company, alright, I must be with him. Keep on talking with him, sitting with him, understanding. Now slowly, slowly these things begin to take seat in your heart. It doesn't come straight. It comes a little bit, then you see now right, how this thing is taking effect. You get a better understanding. You know, like a reader, when a child goes through a reader in a school, so initially he'll just read it as an excitement and as a novelty. What happened now? Ali Baba and the 40 Thieves, right? He read it for the first time, so he just read it for the excitement. Then if he reads for the second time, now you see, alright, what's the deeper lesson here? And when he's more mature and he reads the same story, he says, no, I understand the moral here. And I understand the reason for the choice of this word. He used this word here, he used this word here. You're beginning to see it at a different level. So the same happens with deen. In the initial level, just get some understanding. Alright, I must have istiqamat. I must do the things, right? Then as you grow in your association, in your affinity, your taluk, your understanding improves. From one level to another level to another level. You just keep improving, you just keep progressing. But the whole secret is that you hold on. Hazrat Muhammad used to say that it's like a train, you know, and the coaches of the train. There'll be the first class, and there'll be the second class, and there'll be the third class. So the third class will be dilapidated, will be broken down. Windows are broken, fans are not working, there's dirt and filth all around. People are making noise, someone got his music on, someone got his radio on, someone himself is giving a commentary. A lot of things happen in the train. Right. But as long as the third class connects itself with the first class, wherever that first class is going to reach, the third class will also reach. So we cannot say that we belong to the first class, nor can we say that we belong to the second class. But with the grace of Allah Ta'ala, we can connect ourselves at least to the third class. Not of our own accord, with His grace we can connect. Wherever the first class will reach, inshallah, we also reach. But the secret is that you connect yourself. I tell you, in every other thing, we apply the same principle. Look, like, circular education, right? Just one example, circular education. So, don't we see the need of sending the child to the right tutor, to the right environment, to a guided study, a supervised study, or do we ask him to study himself? Do we take the chance of teaching the child, or trying to, do we ask him also to study himself and get through the classes or to the grades? Because we know this person is in it. He spends so much of time, alright, he's got the understanding. So that means the guide must be such that he's seen the whole path, from the beginning till the end, he must see it. And not only in the Sawf and in Deen, it mustn't be that he only has seen the whole path, but he is impassionate about it. He's seen the path and he's impassionate, he's got a love for the thing. It's not like school now. Now school closed, hey, everybody shouting, teachers, headmaster, everybody shouting, they're celebrating. Why? Because it's closed. Did you ever hear that the school had a celebration on the first day of the school? Everybody's face is down, we have to come back to school. Just the advertisement in the paper, back to school, brings all the cheers, goes, brings it down. Doesn't it happen? Just that advertisement in papers, you know, back to school, clothing, stationery, etc. Just because you don't want to see it again. So this person here that's the guide, he needs to be impassionate about it. Passion. And that passion of his will be in proportion to the ta'alluq he has with Allah Ta'ala. That at any time, any person, how must I work with him? How must I get him? Maybe he's got a gem in him. But that gem is now in that suraj, it needs to be cleaned out. The moment it's cleaned out, then you'll see, yeah, he'll just move. He'll just escalate like that. You don't know, he can turn out to be much better than yourself. The eagle laid its egg under a hen, right? And the water duck also laid the egg under the hen. Now it completed its term 3 weeks or 4 weeks. And in a few days that eagle's child, his chicken, came up and it began to challenge the clouds, the height that it goes. Eagle and the falcon, you hear about it, people talk about it, that if it's going to swipe its victim, it's coming at a speed of 300 k's. Imagine like a small jet, 300 k's. So what energy does it got? 300 k's coming to swipe. The hen, the poor little thing now, that bichara, it can't even fly. The small little wall, it will just jump. It can't fly. And this thing is challenging the clouds. And the water duck is gliding through the ocean. You can hardly perceive any movement. It's just gliding through. That thing is, hey, my children, mere bachche, kahan se kahan pahunch gaye. My children, from where to where they have reached? And where am I? So, the sheikh will be like that. He wants to see his children moving. Our Buzwaradeen say that there's only two people in this life who want more for you than themselves. One is the sheikh, he'll want more from his student than himself. And the other is the father, right? The father will be a chain smoker, but he'll say to his son, Khabardar, if you ever touch this stuff here, you watch out. But the meaning of that Abba is, he can't read the Quran with tajweed. He'll better read one page, but he'll warn his child, you dare miss that hifz class, you'll see what happens to you. He'll make him a hafiz, he'll do everything. So he is not forward, but he wants to send the person. So the person that is the guide, he needs to be passionate about the whole thing. I need to get people. Number two, he must be burning with that love. Number three, he must know the path. He's seen how to guide the person from the beginning to the end. Therefore, they say that it's not just about being pious. Wali doesn't have to be a Muslim. Wali is a different thing. And a Muslim is a different thing. The Wali is pious himself. He's following the Sunnah, etc. But how to take the person from this point A, right till the end, is a different thing altogether. So it's not a lazim malzum that you be a wali and you can guide people. No, you can't. Okay. So it's two different things altogether. To have that understanding, how to work with this person, how to work with this person, how to bring him on. That he leaves up all that evil, all the wrong of his, the rubbish of his, and he comes on. He understands that this was all waste of time. So how to lead the person on? So this third dua that he makes, that Allah Pak, give me a good companion. And I say, this is a natural thing. We want the child to get the right type of education. We will send him to primary school, the right association, a guided, supervised study. Right? So you could have done it in the home, buy him the books and say you study yourself. But do we do that? Secondary education, we do the same. Guided, supervised. He needs a teacher. He needs some type of supervision over him for him to get through. Tertiary education, university education, again, we still see the need for him to be in an environment. Even if he's going, if he's studying in, through correspondence, but in intervals he'll have to go and see his people. He can't say, I'm doing it correspondence, and the correspondence only will take me through. In intervals he'll have to go, for some guidance, for some direction he'll have to go. So that person that's going for the tertiary education, he also sees the need. And leave the tertiary education, even after the tertiary education, the one that's going to specialize, he also needs that type of sohbat and that association. Without, he can't make it. They know it. It's natural, they're not going to do it. So the same happens here in Islam. There must be a reason why Allah says, Kunu ma as-sadiqeen. Ya laytani lam attakhid fulalan khalila. Ya waylata lam attakhid fulalan khalila. Says, I should have taken the path with the Rasul. I should have taken this person as my friend. I would have taken this company. So I took the wrong company, and this way it brought me to. So the Quran is speaking about company. And the wrong company, what he's doing to the person. The right company, what he's doing to the person. In words, you can just change the person's whole mind in one word, two words. You see these things happening. And just two words and three words, the whole person's mind, his outlook just changes. Imam Thanvi Sahib says that this is the boss's wife and this is the servant's wife. So the servant's wife, obviously she'll be a little bit humble, so she goes to the boss's wife's house. So she kept on going. Now she's insisting, you know what, you owe me a return visit. I'm visiting you all the time, but you're not repaying. This is the boss, this is the servant. So the servant's wife is coming just to show respect, etc., out of muhabbat, because they come from the same neighborhood. But now she's insisting that, you know, we are not that wealthy, but you need to show us a return visit. Anyway, on her insistence, this thing went, the boss's wife went. Just that one visit capsized the boss's wife completely. Before she was so obliging, respectful, humble to the husband. Now one visit to this house here, and he just changed her whole mind. Not talking, not showing a straight face, not making salam like she would normally do. Now she's not showing a straight face, no longer. No more she's talking clearly. Now she's talking riddles, one word answers, but you ate food. So it's easy to do all these things here. Right? It's not a difficult thing to do, but just, you know, in that one visit, and she just changed. Well, the boss is pleading, trying to ask her, what happened? You know, I hurt you somewhere, make maaf, this, that, whatever. Eventually she owned up, you know, you're the boss, you're the boss, and he's the servant. The boss's wife is saying to the boss, but I went to that servant of yours, went to her house, right? And they got everything. They got jewelry, look at the dress from one end to the other end, this type of accessories they got. Everything he buys for her. What have you bought for me? I'm the boss's wife. If the servant's wife is enjoying so much, then how much I need to enjoy? Dekho, unki sohbat kaisi muassir thi, ke ek nashis mein pura inqilab le aaya. What a powerful sohbat she was, she had. That in one sitting, she just changed the person. See, this one, two words, many a time you'll find in your life, one word, two words, three words, just changes the person. You had an opinion of a person, and three words just capsize you. Two words, one small little experience, it just changed you. So you see the association and what he does. So, if you look at the mutaqaddimin, everybody, all of them, there was no dispute about it, that they showed a lot of importance to this sohbat, to this association. The cause of the week, I'm thinking, you know, love from thought in my mind, that we are hearing about disputes and all, right? Sometimes Jamaat circles, sometimes other circles, etc., etc. All working for the cause of deen. Then what is the reason? How to bring about a solution? So I came across the ayat of the Quran Sharif. فَهَلْ عَسَيْتُمْ إِن تَوَلَّيْتُمْ أَن تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَتُقَطِّعُوا أَرْحَامَكُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ فَأَصَمَّهُمْ وَأَعْمَى أَبْصَارَهُمْ فَهَلْ عَسَيْتُمْ إِن تَوَلَّيْتُمْ Tawalli can have about three meanings. One is to friend, one is to be put in position, one is to turn away, right? So, let us assume, فَهَلْ عَسَيْتُمْ إِن تَوَلَّيْتُمْ If you turn away. In other words, this is the teaching of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, command of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So if you turn away from this, what's going to happen? أَن تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَتُقَطِّعُوا أَرْحَامَكُمْ If you turn away from this, then you're going to make mischief, you're going to cause problems, right? And you're going to sever a relationship. People that you need to tie up, respect, etc. You're going to break all these things. And then as a result, what's going to happen? لَعَنَهُمْ اللَّهُ 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 will curse you. لَعِكَ الَّذِينَ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَصَمُّمْ What's that right? وَصَمَّهُمْ وَعَمَا أَبْصَارُهُمْ And he made them deaf and he blinded them. وَصَمَّهُمْ وَعَمَا أَبْصَارُهُمْ So you distanced. Right? Why? Because you turned away. Now, in the old we had understood, see, dini work, whatever the nature of the dini work, whether it's jamaat work, whatever, it's that one principle. The principle that they are working with, I'm going in by my own islah. You may have heard this thing, I'm going in for my own islah, for my own reformation, for my own corrections. Why are you going in jamaat? For my own, to learn deen. He won't say, I'm going to preach, I'm not going to propagate, but I'm going to learn myself. So if a person is going to learn, he's going to correct himself, then what will his mindset be? What can I learn? Where are my weaknesses and how to correct myself? Where are my weaknesses and how can I correct myself? So that was the direction they were given. That was the tutoring that they were given. That you're going, what you're going for, you're going to correct yourself. You're going to learn, right? Right? Someone will word it now, have some sophisticated ways, going with the weak iman to get the strong iman, all that. But overall, it is to learn. To correct yourself. That's what you're going for. So for a long time, people went out with this niyat. That I'm going. Why I'm going? I'm going to correct myself. Why I'm going? I've got a lot of faults. I'm going to correct myself. That's what I'm going for. Then gradually, they moved away from this type of thinking. Oh, this people in this town is not reading namaz. I'm going to correct them. That those people there, they're not on deen. You see, the shaving the beards and all, we need to get them right. So, on the surface it will seem right, to correct people it seems right. But then to correct, then you need to have the capacity to correct. You need to be strong enough to be able to correct that person. If you yourself are not strong, and you're trying to correct, you can get drowned in the process. See, you know, when we came to Springer Beach, 1967, 68, summer, so I had a liking for this swimming and life-saving. So I used to hear the stories. I hardly went, but the life-savers will speak. I should like the stories. See? How it was saved the person, all that. So one of the things I was explaining, are you saving a person, what do you do? So now, if it's very difficult waters, now there can be three types of life-savers. One person is only learned it, he's an amateur, so he knows about 10%. One person knows 50%. So 50% he can save you, 50% he can drown himself. Here, he's 50-50, here he's 10-90. And here this person is 99-100%. So what is the wise thing? Who should be sent to save? The one that is 10%, one that is 50%, or 99%? Who should be sent? The one that is 100%. Otherwise, these two people are risking themselves. This person is 100%, he is different. To the others, he is quite different. Right? Now, if it's normal waters that he has to save, then this person is sufficient. He doesn't need any other gadgets, right? But if it's very difficult waters, then he has to take an additional precaution. The additional precaution he will have to take is he'll have to row himself to land. Right? And the moment he perceives any type of danger, he'll have to signal land, they'll have to rope him in. Right? So the same will happen in deen. One is that person who's learned about 5-10%, he's committed to deen, but he's got a 10% commitment. He is not so very well acquainted with deen. His iman is not strong, his understanding is not so strong, right? So he's just going to send him out, right? So there's 90% possibility of that person getting drowned himself. So I went and seen this motaya, see, he's driving this type of a car. I don't even have a car. See, I'm such a big, nice, I can give such a good oration. Give such a good bayan. I got nothing, I see this person, what he's got. So I'll get consumed and drowned in your wealth. And see the house that he's got, see what I'm living in. Hey, it's not a fair distribution. So I'm getting consumed and drunkard and drowned in your wealth. Whereas I was supposed to be drunk, intoxicating him with deen, I'm getting myself intoxicated. I ask you, the person that is intoxicated, can he see well? Can he reason? So he's got a 10% and he's making that niyat like that person that is at the first level, at the highest level. I ask you, is his niyat right? His niyat is not right, he's still 10%. He must admit that I'm at 10%. I'm not so well acquainted. I don't have that level of iman, that yaqeen, that strength. I don't have it. Whatever I'm doing is just imitation. It's not real. To be at that level, I need to have that type of strength. Mawlana Ubaidullah Sahib Marhum Mafur, he says, one person tried to act like a very powerful, very strong person, you know. So, they told him, don't come at this point here, that's this spot here, at about 12:15 at night, because you want troublesome jinnat here. You know? Don't ever come here. So now he's a very strong person going to a gym and gymming and muscular V-shaped body he's got. So he thought too much of himself. So I was waiting now. He went there for about 12 o'clock. He's waiting. 12:15. That thing's time. So around 12:15, he saw someone coming. That thing's nails was as big as his arms. The head was as big as a dig, you know, dig. When he saw this, and that thing just stretched his hand towards him. He was just wearing a lungi. India, summer, extremely hot. He just had a lungi. So that thing just touched his lungi, and that lungi became loose. He forgot the lungi, and he ran. See, so if you're not with that level of strength, don't imitate. You've got that type of strength, it's alright. But you don't have that imani strength, and you're going to imitate, that imitation is an imitation. People make it out that it's an imitation, you don't have the genuine iman. So, this person that is at that level, when he sees his troubled water, then he's got a signal to signal them, and they're roping. So, similar is this dawat work, then how much do you connect with your elders? They are your lifesaver. They are guiding you, pushing you in, and they are life-saving you again, they're bringing you, they're roping you in. So to the level that you are connected to them, you are safe. But you are doing your thing, they are doing their thing. I say, is there any chance of you to be safe? So whether it is jamaat work, whether it is madrasa work, khanka work, but if you are doing, and you're going deeper and deeper and deeper, then your support base must be very strong. Very, very strong it must be. This Qadianism, and the first Khalifa of Ghulam Muhammad Qadiani was Nuruddin. That was the first Khalifa. And he happened to be a Hakim as well. So he was treating some Buzruq. I think it was Shah Abdul Rahim Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali. And Shah Abdul Rahim Sahib said, you have treated me. So I owe this favor to you. You have treated me. And I owe a favor to you. This is as a way to appreciate this fear of yours, I'm warning you that you like to get involved into debates. So now, if you heard how Mufti Zakir Nahmad got involved in debates and all that, he had that imani strength. He had the power, he had the strength, he had that ilm, so he couldn't be shaken. Mufti Zakir Nahmad, his strength was such that about 1 o'clock at night he's reading one kitab, right? As he's reading the kitab, so there's nobody in the house, he's all himself. From one corner of the room he's hearing, "Hum jinnat hai. We are jinnats." So Mustafa's immediate response was, "Haan, hum aapke muntazir hai. Yeah, we're waiting for you. Come, man, come waiting for you. Have you got the strength? If you ever hear that, you just put that blanket over your eyes and you're gone. Have you got the strength? So don't pretend." Mufti Sahab was making ghusl for one mayit, right? It turned out to be a big buzru, making the ghusl there. So as he's going to open his kurta buttons, that mayit took his hand and left on the side. So Mufti Sahab went again for the button. Again he took his hand and left on the side. When he did this for the third time, Mufti Sahab says, you better straighten up now, because people start doubting whether you were dead or not. So he smiled, the dead person smiled, left his hand on the side, and he did the ghusl. I ask you, what will happen if... Have you got the strength? You don't have the strength, accept and admit that you don't have the strength, just be an ordinary person. Doing groundwork, be an ordinary person. You need that support, that ground support, you need that base support. So this Nuruddin was the first Khalifa, the normal person, absolutely Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat. So this... Hazrat Abdul Rahim Sahab, rahmatullahi, yes, but see, you know what, I think that you like this debating and discussing, getting into arguments and all that. I think that you like all this here. Get into arguments, disputes. And if you're not going to be careful of yourself, that you may become the first Khalifa of Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani. And he didn't take heed to this buzrug. He went disputing, getting into arguments, discussion, etc. Eventually, when this Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani died, he was the first Khalifa. See. So for people like us, the intention, the right intention, I'm going from my own Islam to learn myself. I want to see my faults, my weaknesses, to correct myself. In the absence of this niyyah, what's going to happen? In the absence of this niyyah, what's going to happen? I will look at your faults. In turn, what you'll do? You will look at my faults. I will look for another discreet fault of, you're too much of jealousy, you got a lot of hasad. When I'm finished with hasad, you got pride. So everything I'll be nailing you down for. And you will do the same thing in turn. You full of ghibat, all this nonsense. So you are not winning, I'm not winning. Why? Because our Islah is not done. When our Islah is not done, we try to correct. When we try to correct, that person is feeling, who is this person to come and correct me? So he is knocking you down, and you knocking him down. You hammering him, and he's hammering you. I ask you, anybody's Islah is done. So this is what is required in any deen work, that each person looks for his own weakness. My weakness. I need to correct myself. Where's my weakness? Before I touch the grave, I need to be corrected. And this concern, this obsession about Islah is so great. My friend Mawlana Rahmatullah was telling me that just a week before Mawlana Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah passed away, it was about the last Khalifa of Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah, and well respected, internationally everybody respected him, right? Just 1 week before Mawlana could pass away, he was going for Umrah. So he says, en route, let me just go and pop in, go and meet him, take his salam, take his duas. I asked him, Mawlana, can I make any dua for you or for the madrasa? I'm going for Umrah. Any dua can I? He said, yeah, make dua. Meri islaq mukammal ho jaye. He was like the head of all the buzrugs at that time, creator of the awliya at that time. And the dua that he's asking to be made on him's behalf, make dua that my islaq is done. So you see, at no point they feel relaxed. They didn't feel that they're competent, they can do things. Now, yeah, we are starting off a couple of days, we gave here a couple of days there, 4 months or 40 days. Now, straight away, now we assume the position that we are in the position of making islah, looking for that person's fault, that person looking for your fault. I ask you, will the ummah's faults, and will there be any type of progress in the ummah? Or is there going to be retrogress? Because I'll try to look for ways to hammer you down, push you down, say, you like this. And you will try to do the same. Is there anybody going to be benefiting? Any circle you go, this is a discussion. Yeah, this person did this and this person did that, right? So, no person is going to win, no side is going to win. The right way is come back to the original way. The original way is looking for your own faults. This is my weakness. I have to correct myself. How do I correct myself? I got this problem here. How must I act? How must I behave here? What must I do here? How do I conduct myself? Where did I go wrong? Can you just explain to me? There won't be a recurrence of this. I ask you, will there be now muhabbat amongst the ummah or not? There will be muhabbat now. Because I'm not looking for your faults, I'm looking for my own faults. And I may think, you know, maybe I have miscalculated, I did something wrong, or I used the incorrect word. The Shaykh al-Hind rahmatullahi is in Malta prison, right? You know, he's over 75, old, last few years of his life. And he's in very, very severe condition, very, very severe condition. Europe and the cold there, snow and all that, you know. And whilst he's there, the whole group of ulama kiram, Mawlana Sheikh Gul and Mawlana Madari, all of them, one day when they are getting together, they notice that Sheikh Ul Mawlana is very worried. Now, in his position, his students also don't have the courage to go and ask him straight, we see you to be very worried, what's wrong? Anyway, after some time, one person took the courage to go and ask him, we see you to be very worried, can we help you? If there's a problem, can we assist you? Can we be of any assistance? So he says, aap logo ne suna nahi? Haven't you heard? Ke wo fasi mein charane wale hai, that they're going to hang us, they're going to kill us. So phir kaunsi pareshani ki baat hai, isi ke liye to hum aaye the. This is not a thing to be worried about, because we came to get shaheed. Now look at Hazrat Sheikh Ul Islam's reply. So he says, kya maloom ki iske andar hamare harkat mein, hamari mehnat mein, nafs ka koi makhfi bimari muzmar ho. Koi makhfi bimari koi muzmar hamari niyat mein. And in all the striving, whatever mehnat we have done, perhaps there was some discreet share of nafs inside, something wrong in our niyat. At that level where he's called Sheikh Ul Hind, and at the more time they should say that they told him Sheikh Ul Hind was misrated. He was supposed to be Sheikh Ul Alam. So with all the strife, risking his life and, you know, doing everything for the ummah, but to that point also, maybe I slipped up, my niyat is not absolutely right. So you don't leave the cause, you don't leave the path, but you keep retrospecting yourself, introspecting yourself, right? Where I've gone wrong? You know, what correction, what can I bring? How do I improve myself? I say, if you're going to sleep, you can do it in one of two ways. One is look for his faults. Right? I'm going to say, this is what he did. This is what, how he's behaving. How can you do such a thing? And the other way to get to sleep is, I need to correct myself. I'm wasting my time. I didn't do my zikr. The amount of tilawat that I was supposed to be doing, I didn't complete that, right? Right. Well, I heard this person here, maybe one word that I've been using was not right. So I need to correct myself. I ask you, you're going to sleep, which is the better way to sleep? Looking for that person's fault and going off to sleep, or looking for your own personal faults? Al-Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi, although he is Hakim ul-Ummat, and we know his firmness, etc., people say, no, I'm very usuli, I got Hakim ul-Ummat. Now look at his own self. Look at his own self. In his zaman there was a famous, notorious bidati, right? But now Mawlana's opinion about that person when he died is, mera gumaan hai ke Khuda ne shayad unko bakhsh diya. My gut feeling is Allah Ta'ala has forgiven him. Although he's notorious, he's bidat, he's soaking. He says he must have spoken out against me because of bughs fillah. Because, you know, he had heard some wrong comments about me, and the wrong comments that he heard, right, that created an enmity in him for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. For the sake of Allah Ta'ala, he disliked me. But for what? For the wrong messages that reached him. Therefore, he had a hatred. And for that, on account of that, Allah has forgiven him. But see, he's got a heart for that person that is his enemy. All the life he's spoken out against him, passing out fatwas of kufr, etc. But then when he looks in himself, see, perhaps Allah Ta'ala must have forgiven him for this. Although he didn't change the masla. The masla, he left it like that. Fatawa, he didn't change in any way. But in his personal capacity, how he felt. Now can you find hearts like this? So you see that when you want to become the lifesaver of that 100%, then this is the level of the heart. We're talking about the Sohbat association, and then we branched off to this topic here, right? The third thing that's coming to my mind, because someone discussed it, so I said, let me just discuss it. To accept a favor from a non-Muslim. Someone was talking about it. Two persons or three persons were discussing from the morning till now. So to accept a favor from a non-Muslim, right? So now, generally the Muslim, he's very broad-minded. So he's not so, in his broad-mindedness, then he doesn't scrutinize so much. He will overlook many things. Now, Mawlana Tamim Sahib Rahmatullah is asked about a person, about a Hindu for example, and he is donating towards a masjid, he is contributing towards some sharbat at the time of iftar, you know, iftar did sharbat, so he is contributing towards that. So how is it to accept this type of gifts from them? So Mawlana says, as far as the law is concerned, we cannot say it's haram. Provided he is giving it, it seems to be right money, right earned wealth, that he's using, so we cannot say it's wrong. But he says that mera nafs, mera ji gawara nahi karta, but my heart doesn't accept this. Because see, we become gullible, right? In our broad heartedness, we become gullible. See, there was a situation in India where the Hindus got together and they say, collect millions of rands. And we need to build up a masjid and a madrasa for these people here. Who's making mashwara? Hindus are making mashwara that we need to put up a madrasa, masjid and all that for these people here. Now it seems like a fantastic idea that they want to do so much for Islam. So Masa said, by don't be too gullible, just hold on. Are they pressing that agenda that we're going to put up a madrasa? We'll sponsor all the expenses and we'll do everything. Now, come the time of Qurbani, now they are intimidating, they are insinuating, you know what, you don't have to do this Qurbani, you don't have to do a cow Qurbani, a sheep, couple of sheep, it's alright. Now, that gullible Muslim, how he's taking it like this, that this person is being so kind towards us, and he's been doing so much for us, you know. Now, what's there if we leave out the cow, and we just do the qurbani of the sheep? So this whole compromising attitude, when it came from accepting the person's gift. When you accepted the gift, now you have to compromise for your deen. So now it's not for us to do a cow qurbani, you can't do sheep. But where this compromising mind came from? When you accepted the gift. When you didn't accept the gift, you were free to do what you wanted, right? And he didn't have the heart to come and dictate to you that do this and don't do this. But now when you accepted his gift, now, is your mind free, or do you feel obligated? So this is called extortion. Ghalas fayda utata hai. So they will do that favor, but then they will do something underhand as well. One person was telling me in the course of the week that, you know, this person here is owing me 500 rands, and he's not paying me. So he went to the attorney. So the attorney says, you know what? What you do is you write up a letter to him, and you make a claim that you're owing me 5,000 rand. So he says to the attorney, but why? So the attorney says, just listen to me. You claim 5,000 rand. See, attorney's language. So he wrote out the letter. When he wrote out the letter, so this person is saying, before we're disputing that I don't owe you anything, whereas he was owing 500 rand. And what he was disputing, that loan you owe him. So when he wrote up the letter that you're owing me 5,000 rand, now he says, hey, it was only 500 rand, not 5,000 rand. So the attorney says, you see, in court, we'll have to have some type of evidence to prove that he's owing. Right? We'll have to have some type of proof to show that he's owing. But we don't have anything. I make a claim against him for 500 and he denies it. Have I got any basis to stand? So this ihsan they will do upon you, and thereafter you will feel obligated. So what is the need for you to feel obligated? If your deen, do things freely, under no obligation, no compromising, absolutely free, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, and you're doing absolutely free. And you'll find after a period of time, if you are strong and firm, even your enemy will show respect to you. But you need to be firm. And I found that you need to be firm in five areas. One is in your niyat, you be firm. Trust in Allah Ta'ala. Have the right approach. You don't have to become rude and aggressive. Have the right type of approach. Number four, don't allow your niyat to become polluted by anything. No matter what the person is showing you, your niyat mustn't be affected. Right? So you had the right approach, you had the right niyat, you didn't allow your niyat to become corrupted with anything. Right? And you are firm in your way, trusting firmly in Allah Ta'ala. Then you will find things will work out in your favor. But are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? Any small situation and then you're crumbling. Any small type of situation and you're crumbling. When this troubles were on in India between the English and the Muslims, you know. So, an elderly person was apprehended with his son. Both were caught around the same time. So they were torturing both of them. They got a raised platform, right? And they got a small flame torturing them, burning them from underneath. One of the youth raised the torturing. They got the father on one side, and they got the son, and both of them are being tortured. Son is about 10, 11 years of age, father 35 years of age, and they're being tortured. So, when the father saw this, so the father is telling this, that torturing officer, you know, I need to tell you something. But in total confidence and secret. So what is it? So, you know, I'm just afraid that I may just leak it out. If I leak out the secret, this child will go and spill the beans in front of the whole world. I will get disgraced. My people will know that I spill the beans. So this child here, he is the spanner in the works. So he chopped his head, killed him. When he killed the son, now the father says, no, now you can do anything, you won't get one word. I was afraid that this child under that, when he's subjected to the torture, he may just leak out some things. So I needed to get him out of the way. Now he's out of the way, now you'll get no information. You can do whatever, you can torture me however you want, but you're not going to get information. So the English that is torturing him says, for what reason did you do this? You know, you allowed your child to be killed under these circumstances. What made you, what prompted you to do this? He says, only for the sake of Islam. The historian that's writing the story, he says that the torturing officer, he went mad. What is Islam? He repeated the, what is Islam? That you could give away the life of your child just for this. What is Islam? So, as long as you are firm and strong, you'll see the whole world will work in your favor. Mufti Ilahi Bakhsh Rahmatullahi Alayh, he is known as the Khatam of Masnavi Sharif. Masnavi Sharif was originally prepared around the 7th, 8th century. Right? Mawlana Rumi Rahmatullahi Alayh. And then he said that there's going to be someone that's going to come to complete this kitab. And then he turned out to be Mufti Ilahi Bakhsh Rahmatullahi Alayh. Same style, exactly the same style. And it was just flowing. Like it was flowing from Mawlana Rumi Rahmatullahi Alayh. Contents were just flowing for him as well. He did the completion of this work here. Around his time, there was a disputed spot. Right? There was a land that was disputed. People of the masjid, they claimed that it's our spot. People of the mandir claimed that it was their spot. Right? It's disputed and they can't bring any closure to this. In the meanwhile, they need to bring about a closure to this whole thing. And the English has to act like the champion, you know. We brought peace in y'all. Because they have to rule, and they are the minority. They are 1%, and they are ruling over 99% people. So they have to act and behave like champions all the time. That we have got the brains, and we know how to run things. You people don't have the brains. So we'll bring peace, we will bring harmony, we'll bring system into your, to you all. So now this thing is carrying on, and they can't find any closure to this. They ask the Hindus and the Muslims, okay, is there any person that both of you can agree with? Whatever he says, then you must accept and they must accept as well. So there is one person, Mufti Ilahi Bakhsh Sahab Rahmatullahi, whatever he says will go. So now he's called by the English officer. So he says to the English officer, he is firm, not compromising. He says, I have vowed to Allah Ta'ala that I will never look at the face of a kafir. So I'm sorry, I can't look at your face. I can't look at your face. So the English officer, he was impressed. Hey, this person is so firm in his religion, then I need to respect him. So he came up himself. So see, I'm prepared to tell you what I need to tell you, but provided I don't have to look at your face, yes, I don't mind. You can face the wall, but you will give the answers. He faced the wall and he gave the answer. He says, on this land that is being disputed, I'm sure that it belongs to the Hindus, not to the Muslims. Right. Anyway, the decision was passed because they had agreed that one person that is undisputed, both of you all are in agreement, whatever he says, and both will accept. Now, after that session was over, when they went out, those Hindus are saying to that Muslims, you see, not because of you, not because of you liars, but because of this one truthful Muslim, this land we are making over to the masjid. This land we are making over to the masjid on account of this one truthful, honest person. So we have to be truthful. We have to show the sifat, the ways, the values of a Muslim. Then you will see the whole world will crumble to your feet. But are we showing the sifat in our workplaces, in our socializing, in our dealing, in our honesty? Are we showing that sifat? Are we showing those ways, those values? It's never too late. No matter what we have done in the past, the right thing, the wise thing to do is, we make istighfar, ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. That's the first step. And we came into an environment, and we were consumed in their culture, in their lifestyle, in their ways, everything had eaten us up. Now we have to divorce ourselves, ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, correct our intentions, and come back onto the course. Is that difficult, I say? No. It's not difficult at all. It's just, we making up our minds, alright, what do I want? And when I've chosen this, then there must be a procedure. If I've chosen, if I'm truthful that I want this, then there is a procedure how to get there. The procedure is, ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness first. Right, I come here now, I got consumed with the culture, I got consumed with the ways, legalizing, legitimizing, right? I'm getting caught into this whole thing, this whole web, I'm getting caught, so now I must start off. If I can't leave it out straight away, some of the business that I'm doing, some of the type of transactions that I'm doing, the shade is not right. And the right thing is to leave it out completely. But if I don't have that imani strength to leave it out completely at once, then at least I can say to myself what I'm doing is wrong. I can ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. Rather than me legitimizing, that is a very serious guna. So, within my heart, within my mind, I will ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. I will be remorseful for what I am doing. And then I will look for a halal substitute. Halal replacement. Alright, what I am doing is wrong. I don't have the heart and the courage to drop it completely. But the least I can do is recognize the wrong, understand the wrong to be wrong, and together with that, look for a halal substitute, ask Allah Ta'ala for something that is much purer than what I am doing. If you die in the state, at least you have died not denying, not legitimizing, not trying to legalized. You didn't die in that state. You admitted the wrong to be wrong. You know, they got the fazilat of a hafiz, right? One of the things is, he considers the halal to be halal, and Allah Ta'ala's haram to be haram. Whatever Allah Ta'ala has declared as halal, he considers that, he believes that to be halal, and whatever Allah Ta'ala has declared as haram, he believes that to be haram. He's not mixing up things. لا يستوي الخبيث والطيب ولو أعجبك كثرة الخبيث. What has happened to us today is for the, on account of abundance, so much I'm getting. So we don't mind mixing things up, diluting things because of how much you want to get. I just need to dilute a little bit, compromise a little bit, and so much more I will get. So much more I will get. Now we're not looking, we're going to be diluting, you know, mix up, right? Then the end is going to be bad. If you mix it up, then you can't expect to get that level of acceptance. So you'll have so much, but you have to pay the price for it. So you'll have wrong coming out, evil flowing out, all type of vice flowing out, because what you invested in was also evil. You try to legitimize, you try to legalize. So that's the product that you're going to get at the end. You're not going to get that amount of good. So that's the first step, that you ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. Right. Consider the haram to be haram. Be remorseful for what you are doing. Right. And be sincere that I want to look for that which is right. See that person that killed 99 people, right? And you didn't become complacent after that. Say, right, I have committed the wrong now. Now I need to rectify myself. What do I do? So, he didn't become complacent. Nor did he become despondent. You could have become despondent. You know, I killed 99 people now. There's no way for my forgiveness. So let's despair of the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. So he didn't become despondent. He said, no, whatever I can do, let me try. So you in that catch situation, you cannot leave out that haram. But at least this much you can do is consider the wrong to be wrong, the vice to be vice, that evil to be evil. Allah Ta'ala will appreciate this as well. Rather than you trying to legalize the wrong, consider the wrong to be wrong. Like, for example, you're going to a bank, right? We're not saying you're going in for the wrong reasons, but is that the place that you like to die? You won't like to be dying there in that place. Because, you know, it's a whole haram operation that carries on. So for those moments that you are there, then you will ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, right? You're going to a shopping mall, right? You know, you could be dying there. You know all the wrong that takes place there. Music is blasting, people's clothes are not right, every type of activity is taking place there. You're going there because of some need. But you can do without it. If you look at it properly, you can do without it. Now why should I subject myself to all these wrongs? But now your nafs is having the better over you. So at least the minimum you can do, ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. I don't need to be here. I can't do without these things here. I'm subjecting myself to all this little bit, small need. It's not a big deal. I can't do without it, but the nafs has got the better over me. So I do ask your forgiveness for the time that I'm here. So if you are mixing things up, you are messing things up, then you're rectifying yourself as well. Correcting yourself. All the time you're rectifying yourself. So you don't have a sheet that is totally great. It's not great. You're rectifying. And if you are in the process of rectifying and you die in that state, what a good way to pass away. That Allah Ta'ala will look at you favorably, that you didn't try to legitimize, you try to rectify. To the best of your ability, whatever you could do, you did. So Allah Ta'ala will look at you favorably. So this is the way that we look at this. One is the association. Try and associate with the righteous. Like I started on the top. A guided, a supervised path. You know, you've got a, just imagine to yourself that you've got a free trip to Canada, right? Just for about 5 days. Only 5 days. Now one is, you say, no, I will go and look at all the sites myself. And the other is that you see, that I have to go to Niagara Falls, I have to do this and this and this, whatever. Pay something, get a proper guide, and do all the ziyarat in that 4 days. What's the better thing? To pay that amount, get that guided person to show you the whole thing and do all the ziyarat, or try and investigate yourself. Then you may take a year, you still won't get it right. Yeah, the person has got the whole understanding of the thing, he knows all the sides, and in the 3 days, 4 days, he'll show you everything. So it's a simple way the ittaqullaha kunu ma'as-sadiqin, the ranks of the righteous, those that are truthful, those that are consistent, right through their consistent, you don't see them going out of that consistency. Keep to them, hold on to them, inshallah, the goal they will reach, you will reach also. Allah Pak Tawfeeq Naseeb Kare.